This message is brought to you by The Covenant Nation.
Hallelujah. Come on, I said hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can you speak in tongues for a few minutes? Speak in tongues for a few minutes. Do it from your spirit. La sondre kapala dere kopali randele kapandi kapaya rasatangri soti rasonte kipele mpokusheti rasote kipokusheti rasata kapaya ronde kipele teke pokusheti rasatongri sapaya empele tampala taya rasondre sata kapaya batala barata paya nemonte kapaya Rasopre sate kepele, redonga palande kepelia, asante kapale, rende kapala kompre, asete kepele kabaya, palata kompre satakaya. Thank you, Lord. Your glory like wine, falling down the mountains and the hills. Kadosh, Kadosh, your glory pouring down the mountains and the hills. Kadosh, sing your glory. Can you sing it? Prophesy over this meeting. Your glory, your glory, like wine,
pouring down the mountains and the hills. Kadosh, Kadosh.
Oh, praise the Kapala Taya. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Kadoshka.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
Kadosh.
Sing it again.
Sound of our worship rise to the ears of our King. Amen, amen, amen. Let the sound of our worship rise to the ears of our King. Amen, amen,
amen.
Let the sound. The sound of our worship rise through the ears of our King. Amen, amen,
amen.
Your glory like wine pouring down the mountains and the hills. Kadosh, Kadosh. Your glory,
your glory, like wine, pouring down the mountains and the hills. Kadosh, Kadosh.
Listen, you have to understand that in meetings like this, the Holy Ghost singles people out. Singles people out. John the Baptist had a ministry. A multitude came every day, but the Holy Ghost told him,
He said, the person on whom you see the Spirit descend, that's the Messiah. Meaning there will be a crowd all the time, but one day the Holy Ghost will single someone out. Maybe this is that type of meeting. Hey, a multitude is here, but the Holy Ghost will single you out. Say a louder amen. I said, say a louder amen. I said, say a louder amen. I want to give you a few minutes to pray loud and fast. Holy Ghost, single me out. Give me clarity of instructions, of impartation. Let this meeting birth a turnaround in my life. Pray loud, loud as you can. Pray loud. Kai, linda barata kapandele kabaya, rondo ropata kapaya, asanto presente kiba, bata kaparando ko prende kapaya. Pray loud and fast. Single me out. Single me out. Single me out. My word from heaven is here. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. This is your encounter. You are living better than you came. The glory of God is changing you. Those who knew you before will not be able to recognize you, because you are moving from grace to grace, from glory to glory, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. This is a prophetic window. I want to give you 20 seconds to rejoice how you will rejoice when it happens. Leave your chair and jump and shout and shout glory. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, it's time to soar. It's time to soar. It's time to soar. And you may please be seated. Hallelujah. I cannot thank Pastor Poju enough. I will never forget this privilege, this honor. I don't in any way, shape, or form take it for granted. Please, can you help me honor Pastor Poju? I'm Pastor Toyin. I love you and honor you, sir. Hallelujah. Why is it so hot? Okay, my wife is here. That's why. My wife is here. It's good to have you around. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I borrowed that from somewhere. Some man of God did it. I said I must do it. Hallelujah. A release in my spirit to share a testimony. It's my personal Wolfbeck testimony. You know, 2 years ago, I came to this meeting with a clear instruction from the Lord. The Lord said, I want to impart you with the grace for ease in acquisition of properties from Pastor Poju. And I sat somewhere there. I believe I received something. And last year also, you know, the first miracle that happened, you know, Pastor Poggio asked me to give a charge, just a short charge. And the preacher who was preaching after me, we preached almost exactly the same thing. How many of you remember? How many of you noticed? You know, the Spirit is one, dangerously one. You know, and the way he began to speak specifically about, you know, the property that they had acquired, it was a direct word. In fact, in the meeting, people were texting me that this word is for you. You know, right? I said, I know. Well, to the glory of God, our church made a down payment for a 10,000-seater auditorium somewhere in Lagos. How God did it, I don't know. We've paid $3 billion, you know. You know, let me say this.
beg everyone who listened to my sermon yesterday to listen to this one. This is the balance. Because after the Lord sanctifies your heart and takes away selfish ambition, he gives you holy ambition. This is important. So this is the continuation. Yesterday we talked about the premise of faith. Today, faith 101, the audacity of faith. And that balance must be understood. You see, the reason why denominationalism will never end is because everybody is fundamentally correct and superficially wrong. If it was outrightly a lie, it would be easy to discern. But because there is some element of truth, it will take proper discernment. Many of us take on a doctrinal persuasion that reflects our trauma. And so when you were in a faith circle that took things to the extreme, you now go to the other extreme and say, you know, this faith and miracle things, I'm not, you know, and people like that will like yesterday's sermon. And when you have been in a circle that was so lethargic, the power of God never moved, you're also likely to move to the other camp. Not even, and in fact, anybody that anywhere there's power, you don't even have any discernment to just go there. And that is why in the teaching of the word of God, there must be proper discernment and surgical precision. And I want to start with Philippians chapter 4 from verse 11. Let me first read verse 13, a text that we all know. This text has gotten you excited so many times in your walk with God. You know, everybody read Philippians 4:13 together, loud as you can. One, two, go. Read it loud. I want to go. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens. You know, you've heard this sermon many times. I can do all things. You can buy the bank. You can build the company. You can marry anybody. You know. There was a charismatic conference my sister attended, you know, and they had given a prophetic word that in 7 days you will find your wife. So as she was going, one man grabbed her from behind and said, "You are my wife." She said, "If you don't leave me now, I'll slap you." So what I was trying to do yesterday is to help you see the proper context in the execution of faith. But the execution is important nonetheless. Are you getting what I'm saying? In another meeting years ago, they asked one lady, "What's your ambition?" She said, "She wants to own every company in the world." It makes neither logistic sense, nor is it spiritually necessary. So there is a free form understanding of faith, just freestyle, whether it's the will of God or not, all things. And that is why we need to be more didactic. First and foremost, just to rebuttress what I said yesterday before we move on from there. Look at from verse 11. It says, "Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned." Please help me ask the person by your side, "Have you learned?" "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Contentment is a school. It's a school of faith also. It's a school of faith. And you need to check very well whether you're moving in faith or covetousness. Sometimes we use faith as an excuse for covetousness. "I know how to be abased." This is a man of faith talking. "I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things." That is the proper context. And so what he's saying in essence is, whatever the will of God requires, you will find me there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let me start to explain this to you. Let me start by asking you this question. Maybe you've not thought about it. What does the devil want? What do you think the devil wants? If you have an overly simplistic understanding of the goal of the devil in the church and the life of the believer, you just think he wants you to be sick. He wants you to be poor. You are wrong. The devil's goal is to weaken your faith and to take you away from God. His goal is to be Antichrist, and whatever he needs to do to achieve that, he will do it. The same devil that makes people poor is making people rich. If riches will take you from Christ, he will give you the money. He will take you to a high mountain, show you all the glories of the, he will rather give you all the glories of the world than allow you to go to the cross. The same devil making people sick is giving people health, promising people pseudo health. So understand this, his goal is neither poverty nor riches. His goal is to derail you, make you lose your confidence in God. In fact, some people, what takes them away from God is plenty, abundance. And that is why this balance in this text that we just read is important. I can do all things. I've learned both to abound and to abase. So when the enemy comes and searches you, like he did Jesus, he will find nothing. He doesn't know how to test you. He doesn't know how to tempt you. Because you have learned in every situation you find yourself therewith to be content. And if you check the word of God, you will see that God on purpose makes people have these glitches in their experiences, where he just temporarily takes all the privileges you are enjoying to test your faith. Run through the entire Bible. The Bible says, when Joseph was sold to slavery, stripped of all his raiment, and was on a platform, they were auctioning him. Who will pay 5K? 5K, 5K, 5K. Going. Okay, 10K, 10K, 10K. And the Bible says he was a prosperous man. These are the kind of meditations that need to be re-emphasized. That our worth doesn't come from the things that we possess. Hallelujah. We must emphasize being more than doing. Amen, somebody. So there is that. And so I want to say there appears to be two likely extremes in the conviction of believers. There are people who do not know how to be abased. And you see, people who do not know how to be abased will fall into the snare of Satan. He will just dangle some resources in your head. Dangle some resources in your face. You will lose your conviction. You will lose your place. If you like money, see, if you have an inordinate desire for money, you will fall into a snare. Your future is already predetermined. You will fall into a snare. But then, there is also a church that does not know how to abound. See, we emphasize humility, but we don't know also, oh my God, believe me, there are people who don't know how to abound. It's a training also to know how to abound. There are some things that we call humility that are self-sabotage. There are some things that we call humility that are a reflection of trauma. Let me tell you something. If you think there is anything in this world that you will have and it will be beyond you, that will make your heart stagger, you are materialistic. There are some people who have never entered a private jet that are more materialistic than people who own one. Because your problem is this. Now listen carefully. Your problem is this. You think of private jet and you're like, private jets? Private jets? It is so big in your eyes. Something a man like you produced. It is a human being that produced it. Let me tell you something. Nothing a human being like you made is bigger than you. And if you think anything a fellow human being made is bigger than you, you are materialistic. So what then is humility? Humility is this. You are so beyond it that you don't need it to validate yourself. So, come on, are you getting what I'm saying? So, if you choose not to use it, it is not because it is too big, it is because it is too small. Think about Jesus. In his earthly ministry, he could have easily been the richest man in the world. Easily. Do you know what it means to be able to turn waste water to wine? Waste water. And you did not immediately set up Blood of Jesus Wine Company. Yeah? Blood of Jesus Bottling Company. And as it's going to production, before the bottles pass, you first bless it. It will sell. You know it will sell. Why didn't he do it? Let me tell you something. It is people who have scarcity mindset that hoard. If you can turn water to wine, you don't need bank accounts. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he was way beyond it. Now that's humility. Much of what we call humility is self-sabotage. You are drawing attention to yourself. They invite you to come and preach. You sit at the back. Say, everybody is now persuading you. No, sir, come forward. No, you are proud. You are drawing attention to yourself. We like to pretend. That's hypocrisy. You get what I'm saying? So what I'm telling you is this. There are two sins. Two sins here. And both are very hard to discern. If you are such a person that idolizes his own plans, you are wrong. But if you are such a person also that God is saying, come on, this is my plan for your life, and you don't embrace it, that's a sin. When God is promising to take the children of Israel to a land flowing with milk and honey, the children of Israel were like, we are okay in Egypt with locust and honey. That is not humility. That's self-sabotage. That's trauma. That's Stockholm syndrome. There's a difference. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? If God is the one who is telling you, I want to make much of your life, come on. You are not more consecrated than God. Embrace his dream for your life. See, there is another trap this generation may fall into, and we must fight against it vehemently. You see, don't let anybody gaslight you into thinking that you are materialistic for desiring more money in your life. I know that there are extremes, but for God's sake, I'm not talking about luxurious living, but to desire more. It is possible to have selfless ambition. You just want to be a blessing to your family. You want to be a blessing to the poor. And you exert yourself. And those who say, just live life and whatever comes, nobody builds wealth that way. You cannot mistakenly make more money. It's a trap. I'll quickly tell two stories and I'll move on. You know, years ago, I don't know if I should have conferred with my wife before, you know, but anyway, our first daughter, when my wife was pregnant with her, the pregnancy was threatened. One day she noticed some spotting. So I rushed her to the hospital. Now the doctor said we need to put her on admission immediately. This was years ago, you know. We need to put her on admission immediately, and this is how much you must pay. I didn't have the money because we had used months to save for delivery. We didn't see this one coming. So now I'm thinking about it. In retrospect, I'm just like, I thought it was 200,000. My wife reminded me it was 120,000. If I did not have 120,000, except for the mercy of God, I would have lost my daughter. See, anybody who tells you that, see, not luxurious living, just having some decent saving is not important, they are lying to you. It's a lie of the enemy. Don't buy it. Are you listening to me? Don't let them gaslight you. It's a lie. And whilst it will require the will of God to know if you are supposed to build banks and do things at that level, make no mistake. Basic things like your health, like money to feed your children, to send them to school, it is the will of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Something happened just literally weeks ago. One of my relatives, one of the most special relatives to me in this world, just sent me a message. She's in pain. She has to do an operation immediately. Now, this person, by the grace of God, I mean, had been healed of a terminal ailment that she had, you know, years ago. I prayed for her, she was healed. This time around, I prayed that nothing was happening, and we had a camp meeting, so I didn't have time to really go. She needs an operation now. She went, got the bill. As soon as she saw the bill, she started crying. 5 million. Now, let me ask you this. I hope you know, according to economic statistics, that if you have 5 million, you are rich in this country. I hope you know. But having 5 million is not luxurious. Now, a loved one needed it. Are you getting what I'm saying? And you see, you know, my wife was talking to the relative on the phone. She was crying. When she saw the bill, she started wailing. Because, you know, when you see a bill, you know, even if they turn you upside down and shake you like this, the money is not coming out. You know? So my wife did something. You know, she did it to touch my emotions. She just added me to the call. When I heard that relative cry, the money came out straight. I said, no, don't worry. I'm sending it now. And then I now began to think. There are many people all over the world. If they just had a little more. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not talking about buying fancy cars, building fancy houses. I'm talking about being there for your loved ones. Listen. In case you needed a prophet to tell you, I'm telling you, it's the will of God. It's the will of God. It is the will of God. And in this conference, I have decided on your behalf that by the grace of God and by the wisdom of God, you will not lack. Are you with me on that? So now let's move on. As a flow of thought from yesterday, in Genesis chapter 15, God calls Abraham out in the cool of the day. Says, look at the stars, see if you can count them. He says, as many as you can count, so shall your children be. So, see, listen, like I told you yesterday, Abraham, see, oh my God, and you see, that's another thing I want to quickly establish. Before, God had told Abraham he would give him a son. In a meeting like this, he got that prophetic word. He was excited. After a while, when 13 years had passed and nothing happened, he got discouraged. The same Abraham, when God told him, I will give you a son, he laid prostrate and said, let Ishmael live before you. I'm old. Who are we kidding? So some people, their response to yesterday's sermon is not faith. It's trauma. You have lost hope. It's despair. Now, sermons on faith sound like a broken record. That's another extreme. I want to use this as a prophetic window to prophesy to someone. It will still happen. Yeah. Did you hear what I said? I said it will still happen. You know, at our last camp meeting, you know, when we have programs, sometimes we get policemen, you know, just for crowd control. And there was one that was standing close to the lounge. So as I was going, I like to greet everybody. So I greeted him and I said, how are you doing? How are your children? He said, oh, I have no children. He was not there for the conference. He was there as a security detail. I said, well, do you believe you're talking to a man of God? He said, yes. I said, next year, you're going to have your child. They had waited 15 years. They had gone everywhere, including herbalists. To the glory of God, last December, he was with his baby on the stage testifying. I sense there is somebody here. Let me tell you, miracles are replicable. Next Wolfbeck, you will be on this stage with your baby testifying. And in the name of Jesus, whatever was a hindrance to that miracle is taken out the way now. I rebuke fibroids, ovarian cysts, PCOS, hormonal imbalance,
erectile dysfunction, whatever was a hindrance prior, I take it out of it now. Receive your miracle in the name of Jesus. Please be seated. Congratulations. So now listen. Abraham is not, he's not looking for it. In fact, Abraham wanted one child. This is what I'm teaching you about selfless ambition. He wanted one son. It was God who said, I will make you a father of nations. That's selfless ambition. See, so what the devil is trying to do is this. Because you see, if we have a church who does not know how to be abased, they'll fall into the snare of Satan. But if we have a church that does not know how to abound, they will never do anything great for God. This is why we don't even have as many people involved in politics. We just want to stay in our corner doing cute stuff. Listen, if the Lord has said go, it will be a sin to stay. He was on his own. He wasn't comparing himself with anybody. It was God who said, son, look at the stars. This is a selfless ambition. Count as many as you can. This is the scope of the greatness coming to your life. And he believed God. He was not materialistic. It was God who showed him the vision. It was God who showed him the vision. He believed God. Are you listening to me? When God tells Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Don't say, I'm a child. That's not humility. In many churches, that will sound like humility, but it is self-sabotage. God rebuked him. Say not that you are a child. There are a lot of people who are talking like they are humble, but it is self-sabotage. God is against that also. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is an audacity of faith. An audacity of faith unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to the power that works in you. And Abraham believed God. Now, what I want to teach you about faith is the element of imagination. God could have just told Abraham, I will give you a child. Why did he take him out? Why did he make him look? It means that having a prophetic mental picture is an important component of faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? So listen, there are so many people entrusting for a miracle. They have prayed, they have confessed. Have you imagined? Are you listening to me? Have you imagined? Like, God promised Abraham a child. Instead of just promising, he made him picture it. See how many your children will be. So my question to you is, have you imagined it? Have you imagined coming home, honking, and then children run out? Daddy, welcome. Daddy, welcome. What are their names? Have you written it somewhere? And they open the door. You drive in. They carry your bag for you. And you sit and you say, how was your day? How was school? Have you imagined it? I want to give you few minutes to do something. First and foremost, close your eyes. Imagine yourself in your bedroom. Sit on the bed. Touch the bedspread. Now, stand up. Look around and count how many windows are in your room. Open your eyes. How many of you, before I asked you to do this, you never really thought about how many windows are in your room? But how many of you could count in the realm of imagination how many windows were in your room? The question is, how come you're able to do that? As you were here now, you went to your room. You saw how scattered it is. So the question is this. Did God give you that ability for fun? What if imagination is such an important spiritual component, a bridge through which we can inject what God has stored for us in our spiritual destiny and bring it to the world? Where God wants to give you lands like Abraham, and he says, lift up your eyes and see as far as your eyes can see.
Not only is imagination important, it determines the extent of what God can do in your life. It is a faith component to imagine. A faith component. Look at Psalm chapter 78. They gave me more time today. It's still running. Hey. Psalm 78 verses 40 and 41. Talking about the children of Israel. He says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Everybody read verse 41 together. One, two, go. Hold on. They did what limited God. It's oxymoronic. God is limitless. How can you limit the limitless? Listen, as omnipotent and as omniscient as God is, in his sovereignty, he has determined that you will give him permission to do in your life what he wants him to do. And so the extent of the power of God you will see in your life is to the degree of your permission. They limited God. You can. Maybe that's what has been happening. You can. And so, my challenge to you is this. See the visions of God. Imagine it. Imagine all that God has said will happen. Happening. And let me tell you one very quick secret. You know how to know if you are just imagining, your mind is just carrying you, or if it is the Lord. You determine that by what happens when you pray. If it is a selfish ambition, when you pray, it will reduce. If it is the Lord, when you pray, it will increase. Some of you, as you pray, your mind wanders. You think it's just your mind. You see yourself doing things. Man of God, you have just 15 members, but you see yourself in a stadium preaching to people. You see yourself performing miracles you've never seen before. I want to let you know that is God taking you out in the cool of the day. Are you listening to me? See, the thing about prophetic imagination is this. The things of the spirit have to be explained, otherwise you won't know what is happening. Because when Samuel hears the voice of God, he will think it's Eli. He will stand up and say, you called me. If not for experience, he would have missed. So some of you see visions and you don't even know it's visions. I stumbled into it. Nobody touched me. I'll never forget, as an undergraduate, something started happening. I'll be talking to people. I will see numbers on their head. So there was one that was so notable. I was talking to this guy. His name is Victory. You know, I'll never forget. I was saying 3, 2, 3, 3, 2, 3. After a while, I said, sorry, what is your CGPA? He said, 3.23. Ah! You know, and so I had written it somewhere. So when I showed him, he thought I was deep, that I've been deep for long. And I didn't tell him. Maybe I would have said, do I know you before? Do you know me before? Celebrate grace. You know, sometimes God does miracles that will shock you and shock the person. So you do, you say, I'm anointed like this. I want to dwell on this because it happens to you. You just didn't know. Unfortunately, these are one of the things I had to learn on my own. There was a time I was praying. I saw a friend's dad. See, I had never met him before then. But in the realm of the spirit, I knew it was him. You know, come on, some of you know what I'm talking about. And a door was open to him. He was happy and dancing to the door. But when he got close to the door was shut. So when I was done, I just called him. Ah, this is what I saw. He said, hold on. He gave his mom the phone. The mom said, what did you say? He said, that's exactly what happened. He had not been promoted for 5 years until the week before. They gave him his promotion letter. Everybody was happy. They rejoiced and then they revoked the promotion. Now, honestly speaking, I would have ignored what I saw because it seemed, some of you, when you are praying, you see flashes. Somebody you have not spoken to in years will just flash. Or you just see yourself doing something that is prophetical. I want to do the work of Eli and explain to you. Learn to recognize prophetically when you are praying and God takes you and shows you things. Are you listening to me? been praying. You saw yourself building schools, doing things. You saw it in the realm of the spirit. It's not because you saw anything on social media. You were praying and you got that nudge. Not every voice that sounds like humility is humility. Sometimes it's the brothers of David trying to stay. What are you doing here? What's your business with Goliath? You left a few sheep at home. Sometimes it's the devil trying to keep you small. The word of the Lord to you is, be strong and very courageous. Be strong. You cannot fulfill God's destiny for your life without audacity. And that is why almost everybody God used, he mentored them in bravery. He mentored them in bravery. Saying, it can be done. It can be done. I want to ask you, like a prophet, can it be done? Can it be done? Can it be done? You believe, right? This is that meeting. History will tell your own story of faith. Ijoma believed God. Henry believed God. Ezekiel believed God. And it was counted unto them for faith, right? For righteousness. This is your own encounter. Your own. Allow the Lord show you his visions, his plan for your life. So the problem is this. A lot of people don't know that when the Lord deals with selfish ambition, then he can trust you more. Some of us, we want to stay there. We enjoy the idea of sacrifice because it makes us look better than others. That others who are talking ambition, they're not really suffering as much as we are. Meanwhile, God says, the meek shall inherit the earth. When God has stripped you of greed, it's now you he wants to make great. You that say you don't want it, it's you gone he wants. The fact that your biggest imagination, just like Abraham, was to just have one child. God says, you will be Abraham, father of nations. Look at Isaiah chapter 23 verse 6 as quickly as possible. For time's sake, I just want to run through that. Forgive me. The text I'm looking for is, thou will keep them in perfect peace. All right? Whose minds are stayed. Hallelujah. So, thou will keep them in verse 3, right? All right, put it up quickly. 26 verse 3. All right. Read it together. One, two, go. You will keep him in what? Whose mind is what? Listen. Oh my God. Oh my God. The Hebrew word stayed is yester. And that word was used in several other places for impregnation. Impregnation. So what he's telling you is, when God shows you prophetic visions, just like natural pregnancy, he's incubating something in you. See, let me tell you something. Ay, my God. Should I say this? You know what? Some of the things that are happening now in my life, God told me 2010. I can't really say some of them, but those who are close to me know. I said it ahead. And I rehearsed. You see, sometimes there's a component in the spirits where, like a chicken, God makes you sit on an egg and you are incubating it. Are you listening to me? That happens in the realm of the spirits. Many times when you come to pray, see, it is not just praying. Sometimes God shows you visions and he's incubating the possibility mentality. You sit on it. Sometimes you are John and you come back and he's showing you. I have called you Abraham. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? You must put images of possibility around you. Sometimes it will take time. Guess what? With the chicken and the hen, all right, and the egg, if the chicken stands up prematurely, the egg is ruined. It will never remain an egg and it will never be a chicken. So,
You need to understand the window of this prophetic possibility. If God says go around Jericho 7 days, it must be 7 days. When it is done, you know it's done. Allow God mentor you. Man of God, I know now you can't even buy a keyboard, but you will plant churches around the world. And I see the visions of God. Woman of God, I know now you are struggling to even eat, but you are going to build a motherless baby home. Are you listening to me? See the visions of God. Just help her. See the visions of God. This is that meeting. Gifts are activated. Are you listening to me? Gifts are activated. I'm asking you again. Can it be done? Say it loud to the hearing of God. Say it can be done. You know, a man of God asked one of the foremost healing ministers in this country. He said, how do you prepare for healing meetings? You know what he said? Apart from praying, fasting, he said, I meditate. Before you ever ask someone on a wheelchair to come out, you must have done it in the spirit first. See, when God wants to give you the promised land, he will send you there as a stranger first. You will interact with it. Come on, like the spice. You will take some of the fruit. You will bring it out. And God will tell Abraham, this same land, your children, hey, I will give this land to your children. Abraham visited the promised land as a stranger. Sometimes it happens in the realm of the spirit. Sometimes God will make you go there physically. So how do you activate these visions? I have just 15 more minutes. So I want us to run quickly. Hi, my God. I sense you will never be the same again. I sense you will never be the same again. I sense you will never be the same again. So you activate this prophetic imagination, number one, by prayer, like I said. And as you pray, God takes you. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call unto me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. Come on, are you with me? So listen, when you are praying, expect to see. He said, I will show you. It is in the place of prayer that God activates visions like that. Allow him to take you places. Amen, somebody. For some of you, this is that meeting for you. Number two, by the word. You know, the Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, to observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now, let me tell you something. Don't worry, this place is charged, all right? Now, the word meditate in that text was also the same Hebrew word in Psalm chapter 2, where the Bible says, why do the hidden rage, and why do they imagine a vain thing? It means one of the ways to meditate is to imagine. When God says that he will bless you, imagine being blessed. When God says that you will work miracles, imagine it. When God says it, come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Imagine it. You know, the Bible says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He said he considered not his body old and dead. He considered not his body. Do you know what it means not to consider? Don't you have a mirror in your house? It means you develop a new pair of eyes by the gift of imagination. You refuse to see yourself old and weak. Are you getting what I'm saying? You refuse. This is the gift of imagination. You see yourself differently by the grace of God. You see yourself differently. I see myself hale, hearty, strong. Listen, I'm going to live to a good old age. My eyes will not grow dim. Listen, after 50 years in ministry, no scandal, no dent to my image. Are you listening to what I'm saying? All that God has said will be done by the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Can you see it? Can you see it?
You see it in the world and develop a new pair of eyes. See, let me tell you something. If you don't use your imagination, the devil will use it against you. Do you know that it's imagination that the devil uses to tempt us? Let me ask you this. When you hear, can I have somebody run up here quickly? Please come. When you hear, watch your step. When you hear that the devil tempted Jesus, what do you think was happening? You think it happened literally, that the devil took him to a high mountain, or maybe to the pinnacle of the temple, and there may be people who were down, were like, ah, who are those two people? And they said, shh, that's the devil tempting Jesus, let's not distract them. And that then the devil took him to a high mountain to see all the glories of the world. First and foremost, is there any such mountain? Even Everest, you can't see all the glories of the world. Just imagine the devil took him to Everest, literally. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And Satan said, okay. Then Jesus said, no, take me back to where he took me from. If you say, get thee behind me, you go trek back. Oh. So, it's happened where every one of us is tempted in the realm of the spirit. A man, when he's tempted, he's drawn away of his own lust. You can be seated here, and the enemy is tempting you, and it's taking you to a high mountain, taking you to all those places. Thank you. And that is why somebody can have a beautiful woman in his house, and he's not touching her, but he will go on his phone and be seeing an image and be responding sexually to it. Because that prophetic gift of imagination that you have refused to use to build your destiny, the enemy is perverting it and using it against you. The final one I want to talk on, and please, this generation, hear me. The fourth, and I dare say the most important way that God can launch you into your prophetic destiny by imagination is by examples. Are you listening to me? By examples. Because there is a pattern in the realm of the spirit that when God wanted to create trees around the world, he only needed to plant a garden, and every tree will produce after his kind. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God has destined that in every blessing is the capacity to replicate itself. And so by proximity to one who is blessed, there is a replication effect in your own life. Understand, this is the pattern of God. That when God singled out Abraham and blessed him, he said, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. One of the worst things that can happen to any generation is to not have examples. The examples we have may not be perfect, but I can tell you something. If we are not careful, we will have a generation that will need to learn afresh. All the experiences of the fathers will be lost. This is important. You see, Eli might have strayed from God. He has lost his vision. And that was a metaphor of his spiritual state. He has lost his vision. Samuel heard God. He couldn't interpret what he was hearing. Eli didn't hear. But you see, with experience, he could interpret more than the person that was hearing. He could tell him, go and lie down. If you hear that voice again, say, speak, Lord. Even someone you think has strayed might have the key to your next level. Are you listening to me? Please recognize the roles of the fathers. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's very important. You know, I like to play with people by asking them this trick question. What was the name of the first man God ever made? Well, because I said it's a trick question. What was the name of the first man? What if I told you the first man was never named? Adam is not a name. Adam is the Hebrew word for mankind. The reason God called him mankind is because he was the prophetic covenant man on all of us' behalf. That is why when he fell, we all fell. Are you getting this? Just in case some of you are doubting. So look at Genesis chapter 5 verse 2 very quickly. Genesis 5 2. I want to hit a gusher quickly. Everybody read this together. 1, 2, go. Hold on. Give me KJV quickly. KJV. All right, read again, one to go. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name what? So was Adam the name of one person of all of us? So when he was moving, he was a covenant man for all of us. So see, when God blessed him, we were all blessed. This is how God moves. There are some people God has put in them. See, this might sound heavy for you. God has put in them the key to your next level. Let me tell you one of the biggest secrets in my ministry. Are you ready for this? You see, Bishop Oyedepo was my first pastor. Unlike other people who grew up and later discovered him, I was born into the church. So I did not know the advantage it gave me until much later in ministry. If you are wondering how come this young man is so brave, 35 branches around the world, doing big things everywhere, it's because it was normal to me. In 94, my pastor had a private jet, 1994. Whether you think he's right or not, I'm talking about the mentality. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is how I grew up. Imagine me going into church. The office complex is story built. See, they use lifts. The office complex. I remember I was climbing up Children's Church. I looked at the notice board, and that is when I saw what they call signs and wonders today. They announced that they were going to build Faith Tabernacle. Billions. And they said they were going to do it in months, and it was done. Where I grew up, when the church said they would do something, they did it. So it developed in me a strong mental picture. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, let me tell you something. There are people that God has used to provoke your next level, so that the deep will call on to the deep. You might have been struggling in the boat. The day you see a man like you walking on water, something is provoked in you. You know, I am more than this. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Have you ever seen somebody do something and you had a witness in your spirit? I was born to do this thing. Has it ever provoked a witness in your spirit? The moment Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, there was a somersault in her womb. A witness in your spirit. You see someone doing something you were born to do, and you are drawn into it. This is how God changes our life. By giving you a prophetic example. Let me tell you something. You want to change your life? Look for the people who are doing what God has said you would do. Go there, sit down, watch it, honor them. See, it is then, oh my God, unlike Abraham, are you ready for this? God told Abraham, he said, look to the stars, see if you can count them. God is not taking anyone to look at the stars anymore. To everyone after, he said, look to Abraham. Did you hear what I just said? For you, who you will see is a man like you doing what you were born to do. Find your Abraham. Look. There are just some people. When you see them do what you were born to do, you will never be the same again. It's more than hands being laid on you. It's a baptism. Are you getting what I'm saying? I want to give you a few minutes. You are not just going to pray. You are going to allow the Holy Ghost take your mind, give you instructions, show you the possibilities of God. It can be done. Listen now, any one of you under the sound of my voice who is sick, it is time for you to develop a new pair of eyes, because you are about to be healed right now. I sense very strongly the healing power of God activated in this place. Get ready. Demons are about to be expelled. The sick are about to be healed. See the visions of God. It is possible. It is possible. It can be done. It can be done. It can be done. Palande le mondo copoye kebaya. Konde le bele kobaya. Back up. Kashende repoko sete keperendo koboye.
God has anointed me to do great things. Sing. God has anointed me.
It's a prophetic declaration. Sing. God anointed me.
Anointed me.
Sing. God has anointed me. Listen to the verse. I'm thoroughly born and saved. I'm thoroughly born and saved.
Hey, with wisdom and power.
I have resources.
I have resources.
To do what he says.
To do what he says.
I'm thoroughly born and saved. With wisdom and power.
With wisdom and power.
I have resources. Oh,
I have resources.
To do what he says.
To do what he says.
One more time. Listen. I ask you. This is a prophetic moment. Answer from your spirit. Can it be done? They said nobody in your family has done it. You will be the first. I said they said nobody in your family has done it. You will be the first. Let the giant in you arise. Let the giant in you arise. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. In 12 months, you would have already begun to see prophecies fulfilled. The anointing is upon you. Let anyone sick under the sound of my voice be healed. Every devil tormenting your body, your spirit, I charge them by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I command them to be expelled now. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. I give you a prophetic instruction in 10 seconds. Rejoice like it's done.